James chapter 2, verses 14 through 19. The outward manifestation of an inward man. How many of you tonight, being honest, you pray, you ask God for something, and you still have not seen it?
If
you have a relationship with a person, anybody, and in having that relationship with that person, every now and then, the two of you is going to kind of fall out for a season. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah.
What makes you think that you can have a relationship with God and every now and then God won't do something to kind of kick you off a little bit? Don't be holy.
All right.
Don't be holy.
Amen.
I'm just saying that I asked God for some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe what I'm asking God for.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
And he still won't do it.
What'd you say?
What I'm asking him for is not a bad thing.
Right.
It's not an evil thing, not a sinful thing. So I can't understand not only why he won't do it, but why he won't hurry up
and do it.
Because to me, in my mind, in my spirit, in my heart, is that if you told me that if I ask, I shall receive, all I gotta do is believe, and I'm asking you for something, I'm just asking you for a car because my car won't start. I just need to go to work. I promise I won't go to club. I just need to go to work. I don't see a problem with that. Now you tell me, God, what is taking you 2 years to give me a car? Because I don't understand it. I'm just talking about me and my relationship with God. I know you're cool and you got it, you understand. I just want to talk about my struggles, my inner struggles, where I don't understand God and I don't understand how God can be a loving God, but he still refused to give me some things that I'm asking for, still refused to show up sometimes when I'm going through something and I'm hurting and I'm confused. I just don't understand why my daddy won't show up. Because if I call my mama would do whatever my mama can do. I just don't understand why my spiritual father is not acting the same way. Because you said in your word, you said, now, if you have faith, you said you can move, not even all faith, just the grain of a mustard seed. You said you can move a mountain. So how can I move a mountain, but I can't even move $10 into this checking account to stop this check from bouncing? I don't understand. I'm just talking about my rational thinking. So I come to a point where I begin to say, okay, now, maybe I'm reading the wrong Bible. Or maybe I'm reading it and he's really talking to the author, the person that wrote it, and he's really not talking to me. So maybe when he told James to write what James wrote, maybe he was just talking to James. Because James says, brother, he get cute. I told you he didn't believe Jesus until Jesus died. So here he is, some 30 some years later, come out, count it all joy. Where were you 3 years ago? Where were you 2 years ago? Now he's dead and you see that he's been resurrected. Now you want to tell me to count it all joy when I'm going through hell. I don't find anything joyful about going through hell. And I'm supposed to count it all joy. Because the trying and the testing of my faith works patient. I don't need no patient right now. I've been waiting on this car for 5 years. Patience is not what I need. What I need right now is a car. What I need right now is some money in the bank. What I need right now is what I asked you for. And you keep getting spiritual and holy on me, God. And I'm suffering in the meantime. See, I know you can get all spiritual and you can say, well, okay, you're a preacher. Well, why are you standing there and you say that? Because that's my conversation with my daddy. See, I don't have time to dress it up and say, our father, which one? I ain't talking like that. Ouch, daddy, it hurts. Daddy, I need now. Daddy, I made a boo-boo. Cover me in your grace.
Yes.
That's how I'm talking to my dad.
Yes.
Because he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. He didn't say come like, you know, you got some sin in your life and so you got to tiptoe. No, he said come as though you have justification to be there. And see, justification is the righteousness that you have to approach God, not based off your goodness, but based off Jesus and Jesus' work alone. So what Paul writes to us, Paul says that I'm justified through faith, but not by deeds. But now here's James, who come later, and James tell me that you justified not by works. He says, I mean, not by faith. He says, now you got to do some work.
Yeah, do some work.
Now, which is it? Am I justified by faith and deeds alone or without deeds? Or do I have to do work in order to be justified? See, sometimes that's why it's so important that you are in a Bible teaching church where people are not trying to get you to fall out and go through all this cosmetic stuff. You better get a word so when you walk out that door and say to meet you at that door, you know how to put that word on. That's what we need to do in church. So sometimes I think the reason that people kind of give up on church, they're not really giving up on God, but man, with our education, we put a roadblock between someone wanting to come to God and get to God because we like to use big words.
All right now.
And we like to use the pulpit to show off. And we like to do it for ourselves instead of trying to really help people. Paul says the gospel is simple. And I know you say, well, you keep talking about Paul, you keep talking about James here. Because James and Paul is going to address the faith thing from two different angles.
That's right.
See, and I love this story when I was getting it because it shows that you can be in church with someone and still don't see eye to eye with them.
That's right.
If I disagree with you outside of the church, you think just because we come in church, we're going to agree with everything?
Yeah.
We're not. And it's okay. The issue becomes, how do you deal with disagreement?
Absolutely.
Watch this now. Paul writes in Romans 3:28, Paul talks about that we're justified by faith and not by deed. In other words, he's saying is that you don't have to do anything to receive faith. James turn around. James says in 2:19, in essence, he says that your justification is by works. But you got to have some well, your justification is by faith, but you got to have works with that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to bring something to your attention, and that is when Paul writes to the Romans, he's writing to unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
When James writes here, he's writing to brotherings or believers. So they're dealing with two different people.
Uh-huh.
Paul says for you to come in, for you to enter, it only requires faith and then God grace you salvation.
Uh-huh.
James says you church folks already in, you've already entered, now you got to do some work. So you can't come to church, sit down and say I'm saved. Because what he's saying is if you're saved, he said the outward manifestation should come to show what the inner man is all about. You can't keep telling folks you saved and then you keep cursing them out at the same time. You can't do that. You can't keep telling folks that you saved, but there's always division and strife coming from you. You can't do that. You can't keep telling folks that you saved and every time you turn around, you trying to split this person, pull this person over there with you. All that foolishness, if you saved, look like you ought to show it. Remember the Bible says study line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. In other words, he says don't take something because it fits you and stick it somewhere else so that you justify in what you do. And he says you got to keep it in the proper context of what's going on. And so when we keep it in the proper context, what we understand is this, is that as long as a person is a sinner, for you to receive salvation, Ephesians 2 says, for we're saved by grace. So Paul says to get you in church, all you got to do is believe and confess. That's it. Salvation is free. Now for you that is already in the church, he says once you came in the church, he says faith without works is dead. Wishing doesn't make God move on your behalf. Yeah. Wishing is not work. Oh, I wish I can get a job. Oh, I wish I can do this. Now, wishing is not work. Now, work, I've said to you before, is from a Greek word, ergon, what it has to do with, what is your task in life? What are you about? What is your calling in life? See, when James right here, what he's saying is that when you begin to walk in your calling every day, you just a Christian, whether or not they turn the lights on at 12 or at 4, yes, you still have a sense of, yes, the presence of God in your life. Yes. So what he is saying is that your everyday walk must be Christ-like.
Yes.
Notice I said Christ-like, which is to say that even though you're trying to walk like Christ, you're going to fall.
That's right.
All right, now.
I can't believe that a Christian did that. Why? Why? It's in me to sin. I was born into sin. You think I'm going to stop because I went in some water in a church? That ain't going to make me stop. I'm still me. Now, I'm not bipolar. Yes, I am. Because I'm all man, but at the same time, I'm trying to operate in a spiritual being.
Yes.
So I am bipolar. So every now and then, I forget who I am.
Yeah.
So sometimes what's in me come out and it may be a curse word, and then over here it may be hallelujah. But God says, how can good and evil, how can all of that come from the same mouth?
Yeah.
Asking the question doesn't mean that it won't happen. He just wants you to see what you do. Because you ain't going to stop doing it now on this earth. You're not going to stop doing it until he comes. That's why we got to quit beating folks up who come into church. Every time you bump your toe, somebody see you. Somebody see that you fall. You better forever do it. And when you get to a point where you stop sinning, I don't have to call upon the name of Jesus no more. I can just call upon your name because you are Jew. And that ain't going to happen. That ain't gonna happen. James then says in verse number 14, he says, what does it profit? What gain is it of yours? My brethren. Who? My brethren. Church folks. He didn't say lost folks, sinner folks. He's talking to church folks. Now, if you miss that, then you don't understand when he says that faith by works or faith without works is dead. Because you're thinking, I got to do something to be saved. That's not what he's saying. He's not talking to the lost folk. He's talking to the church folk. He says, you've already accepted grace or salvation through grace. What you going to do with it?
All right, now.
What you gonna do with it?
All right.
You're already saved. Now you're gonna come into church and you're gonna sit and then you're just gonna wish that God does or do something for you. And he says, it doesn't work that way. So what does it profit you, my brethren?
All right now.
Though a man say, you're just talking, that he have faith and have not work, can faith save him? He's not talking again about salvation.
Right.
He's talking about God answering your prayers. Because you can have faith in God, and even though you have faith in God, you still have doubt in your heart.
All right now.
I'm sorry, wrong folks tonight.
All right.
I know everything y'all pray and ask God for. Y'all just believe it 100%. Because the truth of the matter is sometimes what God asks you to ask him for, you don't think God really know you for telling you to ask him that. You want me, I'm unemployed, to ask you for a house? How? Why? What's wrong with you?
All right.
And God says, and Omega. He says, I know you.
Yes.
I know the thoughts that I think towards you.
Yes.
Thoughts of peace, not of evil. To give you the expected end. Yes. Child, I know where I'm taking you.
Yes.
You just come along for the ride.
Yes.
But in order for you to ride, you got to get a ticket. And the ticket is purchased through your faith.
Yes.
Do you believe what I'm saying? I'm not talking about how it looks. Do you believe what I'm saying?
Yes.
It may look impossible. It may look like it'll never happen. But if you're crazy enough to believe God in the midst of going through something, let them take everything from you. But leave me with a sense of expectation and a sense of I still believe that my daddy will do it. I still believe that he can do it. Everything can be gone, but I believe.
Yes, hallelujah.
You can't take that from a child of God.
Hallelujah.
He says, if you hold on to that, that's all you need.
Yes.
Verse 15, if a brother or sister be naked, don't you love holy folk? They're naked. They need clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, sister, I'm going to pray for you. I don't need your prayers.
All right. You're right.
Glory to God.
You're right.
See, we have to learn. You know, the Bible says, Jesus was talking about, you know, when did you visit me and when did you feed me and when did you clothe me? And he says, you know, in essence, when you did it to the least of them, you did it to me. So in other words, we have this tendency of looking at folks and we measure folks up and then we'll just like, it's not worth it. Forget about that. Forget about that. Now, let me read something to you. This is James chapter number 2 still. But look at verse number 3. You see verse number 3? Watch this. He says, and ye have respect to him that weareth the what?
Yeah.
Now, he's not talking about gay as in sex. He's talking about gay as in fine stuff. So you come into the church and you wear nice clothes and then everybody in the church like you because of what you wear. And somebody else come in, love the Lord.
Yeah.
They love the Lord. But their clothes is not like your clothes. But you choose the one that look good. And God is saying, but you're looking at the wrong thing.
That's right. Yes, sir.
So you're looking at what you see out here.
Yes, sir.
And God is saying, go a little deeper.
That's right.
If you don't want to go to look deeper, God is saying, well, I'm going to allow you to have a conversation with them. I'm going to let them open their mouth. Then you'll see really what you're dealing
right
with.
There
and so,
right
you know, you sometimes you really don't know what you're dealing with until they open their mouth. And they open their mouth. It's like, ooh, where did that come from? Like, you know, I thought something sweet was coming out of that mouth. And ooh, every word is ungodly. See, God sometimes have to allow us to do our little thing so he can show us who he is. See, God is that kind of God that he says, you know what? I'll let you go through something, but I'm not going to allow anyone to snatch you out of the palm of my hand. See, you're in the palm of God's hand, which is to say that God is in full control of your life. So he talks about, you know, don't worry about these people who's looking good in comparison to those that are not wearing what you think they should be wearing. See, we have to be careful about trying to measure people up based off what we see.
Uh-huh.
See, because the inward man, that's the part that God is looking at. And so he says, in the inward man, when the inward man begins to come out, everything on the outside will change.
Yes.
You don't have to tell me to dress like this or to do this. Just put a word in me.
Uh-huh.
If the Holy Spirit can't convict, your little naysaying and hateful attitude ain't going to change me. If anything, you're going to push me out that door. See, we come in here and we come out, you know, this is what it looks like. And God is saying, I'm glad they in the house. Just thankful just to be in the house. Now, don't run them out the house. You know, sometimes we like to get fish and we just don't clean the fish. We'll just throw it right in the pan. See, sometimes when people come in the church, you have to take the time to teach them. You remember God says through loving kindness have I drawn thee? You need to begin to love on folks. We just judge from this and that, all this kind of stuff. Then they leave the church, and then you say, I knew they weren't saved anyway. Hey, don't you want to leave the church sometime too, when folks start pointing out some stuff and criticizing? I know what I just said, and start criticizing what you're doing. We need to quit that stuff. We're so judgmental in the church.
All
And we're calling ourselves Christ-like. Christ-like how? Christ-like what Christ are you talking about?
I like that picture.
Thank you. Bless
you. I'm not jealous.
So he says, James says, leave me alone. James says in verse number 17, even so, if it has no work, that if faith has no work, it is dead. In other words, this is what he's saying. If you believe in God, but you never do anything to show that you believe, it's dead.
Yeah.
Now, when he say dead, he means spiritual death. In other words, you can be alive, but spiritually disconnected from God. That's what he's dealing with, is that you keep talking about, I believe, but you won't go to work, and you waiting on a paycheck. It ain't gonna happen. So he says, that thing is dead. You sitting there believing that that's going to happen? He says it's not going to happen. So whatever you believe in, your action should be pulling you in that direction.
Yes.
No one should have to ask you, what's your vision? Right. What's your goal? Yes. What's your dream?
Yes.
Because every step that you take every day should move you one step closer to what God has already shown you. Now, if you're all down in the club and all in the jail and you're talking about God gave you a vision, I don't know about that.
All right, now
I understand Peter, Paul, James, everybody, they all went to jail. I understand that for doing what they believe in God. I understand that.
Yeah.
But selling crack ain't believing in God.
Yeah.
Stealing from credit card ain't believing in God. Come on now. Stay with me. Without works is dead. So watch this. Now I'm going to skip down to verse number 21. I want to show you something in closing. Verse number 21. Now remember he says that. Now Paul says that faith, that you're justified through your faith, not by your deeds. James come back and James says you're justified by faith through works. Okay? So Paul is saying you don't have to do anything, talking to the unsaved. James is saying you got to do something once you get saved.
Yeah.
Let me show you. So in verse number 21, he says, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works?
Uh-huh.
Now Abraham was saved. He says Abraham is justified by work. And this is when he offered. Action word. I'm doing something. I'm offering. This is my work. I'm doing something. So he says, now Abraham wasn't just justified because he was chilling on the backside of the mountain drinking some Kool-Aid. He's not saying that. Look at verse number 23. In verse number 23, he says, and the scriptures were fulfilled, which says Abraham did what?
Believe.
Action. There you go. He's doing something again. He's working it out again. See, remember, works is not going to work necessarily what you do every day someplace. Your works is who you are. Your assignment in life.
Yeah.
God has given each and every one of us an assignment, a task, something for us to do. You got to be careful because the Bible says don't covet your neighbor's house. You're all over there looking at what this person is doing and what this person is doing. That's none of your business. You just do you.
Thank you.
See, if I try to measure myself against somebody else, or try to measure myself against my own standards, I'm doing fine. But when I mirror myself against the word of God, I fight, hey, I'm just short. We all fall short. Because against the word of God, listen, we all have some improvements to make. We all have some things that we need to do. So we have to be careful about judging other people or judging yourself based off what somebody else is doing. So they're doing this over here. Let me go do this. And I will hurt you if I begin to do what God has called you to do. Because I don't have the grace to do what you've been called to do. I don't have the anointing to do what God has called you to do. But when I find my place and I find out what God has called me to do, I can walk through that thing effortless because the grace and the anointing is upon my life. And you got to know, you got to know what God has called you to do. And when you get in that place where you begin to do what God has called you to do, somebody else may have to put forth effort to do it. But for you, baby, it just slides right on out for you, because that's your place of grace. See, you got to know that God has called you to do something and seek God and find out, God, what is it that you want me to do? Let me tell you something that I know about me. I may not be able to sing. I may not be able to preach that well. I may not be able to do a lot of things. But God anointed me to teach. You can't convince me that God has not anointed me in this season to teach His word. In this season to break some people through. In this season to be an encouragement to His people. In this season to tell His people, hold on, change is going to come. I know why I'm here. You can't make me stop that. So listen to what he says.
Thank you, Lord.
He then says, look at verse number 25. He says, likewise, and we'll close on this. He said, likewise also was not Rahab. Now, I know y'all read the Bible sometimes, and you say, that Paul, he's a good guy. That Peter, he's a good guy. Isn't it kind of refreshing sometimes? I mean, you can be honest. When you read about somebody in the Bible and you say she was whooped. Now, watch this. Here, James trying to use examples for us. And one of the examples is a prostitute. Excuse my English. What be the matter with him? How can you do that? I mean, I'm better than Rahab, the harlot, the prostitute.
All right, now.
But he says that she was justified by works.
That's right.
When she received the messengers.
Yes.
Yep. See, she had enough faith to let the red rope out of the way.
Right.
And she says, you know what? I may get caught. But I got enough faith to believe that even if I'm caught trying to deliver God's people, God is going to deliver me. Every now and then, you need to lay it all on the line for God. Every now and then, you need to do what they say you can't do. Every now and then, you need to step out on faith and believe God for what appears to be the impossible. And so what Jesus is teaching is that it's wonderful that you have faith. You know, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's a beautiful definition in the church. But when the bills are past due and they're pulling your car down the street and they're evicting you from your house, I don't know if that quite worked for me, because I don't have time to say all that. And I may forget a piece of that. And if I forget a piece, does that mean that God is not going to move for me? I'm glad that I got a God that when I pray to Him and say, Thou knowest, He really knows. I'm glad that when I call upon His holy name, He's never too busy. I'm glad that He's on the main line. I can call Him up and tell Him what I want. I'm glad that He gave me delivering grace. I'm glad that He saved me even from myself. I'm glad that God looks at me, and when He sees me, He sees the blood of the Lamb and says, I know what you did, but I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what Jesus did on the cross. And what Jesus did on the cross, John 19:30, in closing.
Thank you.
The Bible says about Jesus, it says, it is finished. Another action word, works. He says, I've done the work of Him who sent me. That thing is finished. You know what was finished? You being under the law.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. If you ask me to live according to the Ten Commandments, I can't do it. See, because if that's what I have to do, every time I break one, I broke them all. So God says, I'm going to give you my only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Now, when I give you Jesus Christ, that's a gift.
Yes.
That's the grace.
That's right.
It's Jesus.
That's right.
Old Testament and New.
Yes.
New Testament because he died on the cross. Old Testament because he was a shadow of things to come. Mm-hmm. So your grace is tied up in Jesus Christ. So what he says is Old Testament is law. I didn't come that I could cancel out the law. He says, I came that I may fulfill. So I'm going to give you one more commandment.
That's right.
And that is love.
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 Because love covers a multitude of sin. For God so loved the world. So his motivation was his love for you and I. So everything you do, you need to understand that God loves you. Even when you fall short.
That's right.
God loves you.
Yeah.
Well, God, how can you love me and you know me?
Yeah.
And he says, I love you because you're mine.
Yeah.
Where you are is not a determination of who owns you.
Yeah.
You can be in the jail, in crack house, you can be anywhere else and still belong to God.
Yeah.
On that day, God is saying, I have the power to snatch you right
now.
I need to talk to some folks that God has snatched out of some place.
Yeah. Thank you.
Have you ever been caught up in a place?
Yeah.
Caught up in a thing?
Yeah.
And you know you were caught up.
Yeah.
And God stepped in.
Thank you.
And when he stepped in, he loosed you. Loose don't mean much to somebody unless you ever been caught up. But if you ever been caught up in something and you experience God loosing you, then you can praise him because you know what it means to be set free. You know what it means when God delivers you. But if he never did nothing for you, you don't know how I feel. But if God has ever set you free, come on and give him some praise tonight. Come on and open your mouth and praise him. Come on and thank him for setting you free. Thank God that you don't need what you used to need. Thank God you don't need he who you used to be. Thank God he delivered you from that. Thank God he delivered me from me. I'm free. I said I'm free. I said I'm free. I said I'm free. I said I'm free. The Bible declares where the Spirit is, there is liberty. I know what I did. I was right there when I did it. I know what I did. I was a part of the plan. But God has set me free. I'm not going back there again because God has delivered me. Have you been blessed tonight? Come on and praise his name.